Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I think we're a little closer now. Thank you so... Okay, thank you so much, ladies, for that prelude. Draw me nearer. That's a great prayer, isn't it? As we come before the throne of the Lord this morning corporately as the church. Welcome to everyone. I'm ready to give God the glory. I'm going to pull this mask off. Maybe that's part of the problem, Jeff. Was it? Probably was. Okay, hopefully we're in a fixed position now, a fixed position to praise God. So let's all stand this morning, welcome to one and all. We have a handout or it's on the screen, Great is the Lord. He certainly is great and He deserves all of our worship and praise. Let's join together in song this morning. Great is the Lord, He is holy and just. By His power we trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true. By His mercy He proves He is love. Sing it out. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord, He is holy and just. Trust in His love. Great is the Lord, He is faithful and true. By His mercy He proves He is love. Now let's sing it like we mean it. Great is the Lord and worthy of glory. Great is the Lord and worthy of praise. Great is the Lord, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice. Great is the Lord. Great are You, Lord. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come today humbly before Your throne. We acknowledge today Your worthiness, Your greatness, all of the attributes that can be presented that describe Your very being, O Lord. And we thank You today that You are a God who is not distant from mankind, but one who has fully engaged Himself and fully desires to have intimate fellowship with all of mankind. Lord, help us today to change our thinking about things. Help us not, Lord, to dwell on an earthly perspective, but to dwell on a heavenly perspective. Now, Lord, we thank You that people have been returning to Your gathering. And we know, Lord, that Fruitland has been deeply affected by some of the things that have gone on, including the COVID situation. But, Lord, I pray again that our hearts will not be ruled by a spirit of fear. But also, Lord, that You'll give us good sense how to handle things. But we want to show, Lord, today we still believe in You. And we're going to walk with You. Now, Lord, I pray for those that may be struggling in those areas. And I pray, Father, that You'll strengthen them for the journey. Because until the journey's over, it's not over. And just like we learned this morning when Elijah called Elisha, we got to move ahead. You're a God that moves forward. You don't look back. And we want to be a part of that program, Lord. Now, I just pray today and thank You for all that have turned out. We know there are yet some in our number that are healing. We lift those up before Your throne, some with long-term, potentially, recoveries. But we also know, Lord, that You're the God of miracles, and with You, nothing is impossible. So we hope to see them back here very soon and back to another pattern or chapter of life to serve You better. Now, Lord, we pray for our community. We pray for those around us that are needy in both ways, Lord, but primarily in a spiritual need that are unsaved. but also, Lord, for other human needs that may not be met. Lord, we pray for those of our own number, but also our community, as I said. And Lord, there may be people today suffering from a lot of things. Some may have rejected you. Some may be bitter toward you. Some may have all kinds of ideas that are not true, that they have accused you of, O Lord. But we know that you are a God of goodness who loves people enough that you came in the form of your Son Jesus to die for our sins. Now, Lord, today as we look at another message from your word about basics and the growth in the Christian is a very basic thing, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And Lord, this would be a great day at Fruitland Baptist Church because you're a great God who we serve. Now I ask your blessing on our time together, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now this morning, we're going to take a look at our bulletins. This could be a little confusing, and so I want to try to clear up all the confusion. Some of you have seen your actual bulletins. Hopefully some of you have also seen this little addendum. Has everyone seen that? Okay, the addendum is going to partially overrule what's in the regular bulletin. Now, I know this is confusing, but try to work through this with me this morning. So tonight, and we do anticipate having a communion service soon, we will have an evening service, though, today. And this is one, again, that I believe will have much benefit because anything that comes from God's Word is beneficial to us. But tonight's message is overcoming the forces of fear and anxiety. That should be something that will be a blessing to look into this week and every day. Wilton Bible Study, then, will be on October 7th at 6 p.m. and also the 14th. Check with Denny on dates for men's Bible study for October. If we do not have dates from him, we will have Bible study. One way or another, I'll be back with you on that next week. Ladies' Bible study is the 9th and the 23rd. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I may be there, I'm not sure.
Right.
But for fellowship and, bring devotions and...
Sure.
And then we will for sure, November we'll start the Revelation study. But I just, right now, my schedule is just...
Okay.
Well... Also, I'd like to say to the ladies that I'm going to send out a text later today for them to vote on it Saturday morning or Monday evening for the study.
Okay. Okay, Beth, and I can endorse it. I actually came to it 1 week. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah. Also, there's an incorrect thing on this as well. It is not at 10 p.m. at night. It's at 10 a.m. So I don't know what to tell you about the bulletin this week, but you're just going to have to mark up things and try to get it straight. If you have a question, you can always call me. I had someone call me from halfway across the state the other day, and they said, I'm shocked that you have a number publicly posted, your cell phone. I said, hey, people around here know me. They'll find me one way or another. Why not make it easier, right? That's right. The ladies' retreat, that does require a sign-up at Walnut Park. Kim might have details on that further. There is no fellowship in October. We'll see about starting that later on, and so that's off, and you see my thought for the week there. Now, I almost am scared to ask this. Is there anything else that we need to change or needs dealt with on this? So I'm telling you, though, that this bulletin and this sheet, there's a few little problems, so work between them. Welcome and greetings to everyone once again. Well, with our consolidated services, yet for the time being, when we get back to fuller strength, we'll begin to have special music and go back to all those things again. But for now, we're going to keep it simple and keep to the point what we want to do and use our time very efficiently. So with that said, it's time for me to be less talkative and more in the mode of prayer. So we're going to pray today. You know, God is good to us, and He gives us an opportunity to give back to Him in many ways. It's not just through financial gifts, but other ways as well. But as you contemplate again how to obey the Lord in those things, and we'll have some messages coming up on that periodically, probably yet this year. I don't preach on money here all the time, but I do preach on it because it's in the Bible, and our giving more specifically, but money is too. I'd love to have a Dave Ramsey course or teach one on ourselves. I'll tell you what, folks, we have so much we can offer here at Fruitland if we can just get together and do it. but there's a lot said in the Bible about every aspect of life. But this morning, I'm going to thank Him for His gift primarily of His Son, the Lord Jesus, right? Yeah. But also for an opportunity to thank Him for the gifts He gives us from our employment and the ways that He's given us to be prospered. So let's bow today, and then also that He'd steer our hearts toward worship this morning, but also growing in Him and His Word. So let's bow together. And oh, by the way, there are receptacles. I think everyone knows that. If you're visiting today, we're glad for you to be here. Come and be a part of our family. That's what we are here. The bad and the good, you know, like every family, but we're the family of God. But there's a receptacle on the back table. Let's bow. Oh, Lord, our God, we come to You today and thank You once again, Lord, for another day of Your grace. So often, Lord, we arise and we fail to realize that this day is Yours. The Apostle Paul told us that every day is Yours. It's not just Sunday, the first day of the week, where the example of the early church and the disciples was to gather and to recognize Your resurrection. But Lord, we realize that every day is worthy of Your honor and praise. It's all a gift from You. Lord, thank You for the most wonderful gift that could ever have been given to needy mankind, that being salvation through Your perfect sacrifice, Your sufficient sacrifice that was applied to man, substitutionary sacrifice. It should have been us that died on that cross, Lord. It should have been us headed for eternity in hell. But You overruled that because of Your love. You're the perfect example of giving sacrificially. So, Lord, not only in Your scriptures are there orders about giving, but there's also opportunities to sacrificially give above and beyond even what is suggested in the Old Testament, even before the law. Is due You from the things that we receive from Your gracious hand. So I pray, Lord, that You would help us to wrestle with those things, that we would be in tune with You, and that we would follow Your word to the letter in the sense that we have it right, Lord, in what we present back to You. So, Lord, today I pray that You would bless the gift and the giver as they're directed to do so, Lord, and thank You for prosperity, but also for neediness, Lord. And we'll trust You through all those things. Lord, now also as the ladies play and we have a time of meditation, I pray that You would direct our hearts towards You and to give You the praise and glory that You're due today, but also, Lord, to receive from the Word encouragement and a challenge, Lord, that we would be on a pattern of growth for the Christian. I pray too today, Lord, if there be anyone here that is not a believer, one who has never trusted in You, they're not saved, that, Lord, they would consider today again the immensity of what You have done for mankind and the solid evidence that exists for the things that have taken place. I pray for a movement today, Lord, in the hearts of people. I pray for our church too today, Lord. I'm concerned about it. Now, I'm thankful today that there are more here, but, Lord, I also know that there are people that maybe are making unwise decisions about gathering with Your people. And yet, Lord, they are very commonly seen out and about. I pray You'll speak to those hearts this week, Lord. This is important. and you are important, and we love you today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you so much, ladies, for setting the pattern for our worship today. Well, I'm pleased to announce today that I hope to be back standing in the pulpit next week. Lord willing. My recovery is proceeding, and I almost did it this morning, but someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You better wait." It was Jeff Hendricks. But we shall see, but I'm thankful to God that He's given me nearly a complete recovery and just has a little more growing shut to do. But I'm excited about getting re-engaged and getting out and about with people. I'm still being a little cautious because some people are very apprehensive about that. I don't want to cause anyone undue grief, but let me just say this, I'm available. And I'd love to come and have fellowship with you, and I think on a limited basis, you're welcome to come into the office. We're not going to run around the whole building, but we'll clean up after one another. So it always pays to call ahead because I may be out on a call. Sometimes I leave a note on the door, sometimes I don't, but you always know how to get a hold of me, right? So I look forward to that, and I'm excited, too, about what lies in the future. We have a great opportunity coming at Thanksgiving, and I really want to see us re-engaged. We have to make a decision on that, but I'm more encouraged today to see a good number of folks back. But this is an important event. We missed another important event, but we don't need to miss this one. But we need to be fired up and on target, and we need to be interested in people's souls and their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, because creation is His greatest witness. It really is, and we experience it every day. Anyway, we're glad for everyone that's here, and I pray that for many of you that did experience this, that you will experience a great recovery, but we're glad you're here today. Well, as we kind of think a little bit about the last couple of weeks, I told you for a while this fall, I've been led to preach on the basics of the Christian faith. And so for 2 weeks, we worked with what? The basics of salvation. And today, we're going to carry on in that thought, because I think after we're saved, the Bible says the next thing that we need to do is what? We need to grow. We need to grow in Christ. He wants to bring us to maturity. And so that is another basic of the Christian faith. I believe we can get through this message today, and hopefully it'll be a blessing to you and that the Lord will help me to preach it. There are handouts in the back. Did everyone get one? They are individually. Some did not. Jeff, if you would be willing. Raise some hands. How many we need here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Just bring a bunch. Thank you. Now, again, we usually don't want to touch these things, but we'll take a risk today. All right, we've got a couple up front. We've got Zelpha. Okay. Kim, did you get one? Okay. Kim usually doesn't need notes. She hears me talking in my sleep about them, so we got more coming. Anyway, Jeff's going to get those out. We're going to pray, and then we'll begin, all right? So let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you. And I thank you for the good attitude that people have today. I pray, Lord, that you'll give us all an attitude adjustment in the times that we live in. It's so easy, like we learned in Sunday school, like Elijah, to get discouraged, even in the midst of your dynamic program. Lord, I'm not discouraged about your program at all. I think that you're laying it out very plainly right in front of our faces. So help us, Lord, to stay engaged with you and to do the things that you've told us to do. And we'll find that life is very exciting. So I pray today, Lord, this message will I just pray simply that it'll touch who it needs to touch, including myself. And, Lord, that there will be some changes in our lives. And we even pray yet today, Lord, for a soul to be saved, if that might be the need today. That's the primary thing, because we do not gamble with your time, Lord. Your timing on everything is perfect. And you've given us the grace, once again, to make these adjustments now, not in the future. And so help us, Lord, to consider that today. I pray that you'll loosen my tongue today. The power of the Holy Spirit will overtake this. And Lord, that there will be great things happen today through the preaching of the word at Fruitland Baptist Church. May you be praised and glorified today in all we do. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Amen. Friends in Christ, in our last two sessions, we emphasized the basics of salvation, which includes the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, which is the evidence or the earnest or down payment combined with the sealing or security of our salvation. So the work of the Holy Spirit at salvation. And so after that, what comes next? Or is that it? Now some people say that's enough. I just need to be saved. Well, let me just say this morning. It is enough for us to go to heaven when this life here on earth is over, because we're saved by grace through faith. We learned that in the previous two messages. But according to you, the Lord, and what he says in his word, it's all we have to do for salvation, but there's a lot more to it, because God gets a hold of our life and he wants us to what? The word is transformation and growth. Some of the other words that you use, they're right. But he wants to change us further. We've been made a new creature in Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:17. The old things have passed away. But you know what? For the old things to totally pass away, we've got to replace them with new things. And those new things are found through the richness of obeying the Lord and his word and walking with him through thick and thin. And so that's the idea. Yes, you can go to heaven without any further growth. We know the example of the thief on the cross, right? All he needed to go to heaven, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise, is that he had faith in Jesus Christ. But there's a lot more to it that we miss out. Don't we miss out on some of the good stuff a lot of times? Don't we miss out on the good stuff a lot of times because of our preconceived notions of something that may not even be true that we think goes along with that? Oh, if we're going to get involved with the Lord, we'll never have any fun again. Hey, I want to assure you, the more you get involved with the Lord, the more fun you'll have. You want to live an exciting life, you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to have it all, folks, from elation to challenges like you wouldn't believe. But it'll be exciting. It's more exciting than anything this world can ever offer you. So I firmly say that it is not the end of what the Lord wants for us. He has many things set aside for us. But you are set for heaven if that's all that happens, if you're saved. Anyway, well, we are set for heaven if we should be called at that point. But for most, and this is what we want to get across this morning, there is much more about being born again and being a new creation in Christ. Growth or maturity is the plan God has for us to develop into a pattern of growth involving ourselves in him, but also toward the needs of the unsaved. You know, we live in a day when it's all about us. That's what we've been taught. Take care of number one first. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. And you know what? There's a lot of people out there, and we'll see that borne out in this message this morning, that we need to reach. It's not just about us. When we become born again, we become under the Great Commission, which we'll look at here in a few minutes. We have a responsibility to others. It's not all about us. Anyway, enough said on that. He has a great plan for the believer. With that in mind, the basis of growth in the Christian life this morning, 3 points. 3 points, and don't bog me down this morning so we can get this done. Oh, well, maybe I need to look in the mirror, right? But seriously, if you ever have questions, yeah, we'll talk about them. We'll talk about these things. But there's 3 points this morning, and the first one is a connection to the Word. A connection to the Word. So once we're saved, the most important thing, we've already been connected through the Word, because the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But we need to further examine what the Word of God has for us, okay? Because it's His love letter, it's His communication to mankind, and it's chock full of stuff. There's not one of us can ever get to the total depths of the Bible in a lifetime, a long lifetime. There is much there for us to mine from the nuggets that the Lord has for us. So the first thing that the Bible really talks about, and what we see as a pattern in the Scriptures for those that are believers, is to become a disciple, okay? To become a disciple, and you have defined on your sheet there this morning, a disciple is simply a growing follower, spreader of Jesus. A growing follower, spreader of Jesus. A disciple is one who seeks to do and follow what Jesus has shown us to do. Now, I'd like you to turn your Bibles this morning to John 8, verses 31 and 32, because the connection here that we're looking at is growth again, and so growth is in the Christian life is going to require a connection with the Word. John 8, 31 through 32. Here Jesus is speaking to some new followers, some new converts. Notice here in verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews, this is John chapter 8, verses 31 through 32, just so we don't leave anyone here out. Jesus said to those Jews, which what? Believed on Him. And so we can believe there that they were saved. He says, if you continue in My Word, then you are what? Yeah. You know what? If we are born again in Christ Jesus, but we fail to get involved in the Word, that's as far as we'll ever get. Now, I know that some might say, as I mentioned earlier, well, that's all I want. But the question I have for us, is that what Jesus wants? And the answer to that is no. He wants us to grow. He wants us to be grown and to become more like Him. Verse 32, and this describes this, and there's many verses I could have gone to this morning that could supplement this. You can increase this. But He says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, when we grow in Christ, we become perpetually freed from the ways and the teachings of the world. We become perpetually freed from the things that hold us down, that are a part of this sin-cursed and broken world, through the freedom which is given us through the Word of God. He wants us to be free and to be freely engaged for Him. He doesn't want us burdened down by the rest of these things that cause us to lack faith. But He wants us to put His full trust, our full trust in Him. And He says here, when we get off onto the track with the Lord Jesus through His Word, we're going to be freed up. And I'll tell you why that is, folks, because as we learn and study and grow in the Word, He teaches us. And He says, My ways are what? They're good ways. They're better ways than anything else that can be offered. And those ways transform us into different creatures in Christ. So important, again, that if we're going to be a follower and a spreader of the Lord Jesus Christ, or a disciple, that we need to be growing in the Word. We need to be growing in the Word under discipling. And today, you know, sometimes I got a little growly a couple of Sunday nights ago, or maybe it was last Sunday night. No, I think it was two Sunday nights. I invite you to Sunday night services. That's when I let my hair down. Sunday night services are very freewheeling. If you have a question, we'll stop in our tracks and talk about it. And I would even today, but the point is, there's a lot to that. But I'm going to tell you, Fruitland Baptist Church, we're deficient in our discipleship of people. There's a couple of things that I want to underline here as we talk about that this morning. But growing in the Word happens when we come under discipling. And I'm going to lay two of those things out today that I believe are a part of that. By the way, if you remember a while back, I taught about real church. What is the basis of the local church? There's two missions that it's sent on. Evangelism and discipleship. It's being seeing people saved and seeing people grow in Christ. And it is a church mission, but it is an individual mission through the church, if you get what I'm saying. We'll talk about that before I get myself preached into a corner. You've heard about being painted into a corner. Here it is, folks. The preaching and fellowship of the church is the primary setting for discipleship. I shouldn't point my fingers. That's wrong. I get passionate about these things. Folks, we've seen a weakening in the local churches in the last couple of generations because, you know, and these are important, and I'm going to get to that next. But we see the local church being splintered into small groups and branching off into little areas. That isn't wrong, and I'm going to get to that here in just a minute. But the primary means for discipleship is not found through small groups. It's not found through one-on-one Bible studies. It's found in the meeting of the church under the preaching of the word, and that's a primary thing that, and I, stop that, John, pointing. That's a primary thing that new Christians ought to be involved in. By the way, have you ever wondered why we meet three times a week here at Fruitland Baptist Church? Some of you have, I know, because some don't come to the different meetings, right? We meet because it's the midweek service is really has two purposes. The first purpose is for prayer, but the midweek service is also a recharge in the middle of the week. Maybe you're like Elijah, you know, in the middle of the week. You've had a rough week, so you say, I'm going to go sit under the juniper tree for a while. Well, don't sit under the tree. Come to midweek Bible study and prayer meeting. And you know what? When you pray with someone or you talk to me or maybe the message that day, the Holy Spirit will have, or the little Bible study we have, and we do things a little differently in prayer meeting. By the way, don't anyone ever fear prayer meeting. I will not let anyone hurt you. I promise. We're very gentle. You'll be blessed. It's a time for a recharge. If you're having a low point, that's what we're here for. Not just me or the building being open. We're here for this together. It's vital. Sunday nights, I already told you, that's when I let my hair down. You have a question? There is no question. Verify this, Sunday night attenders. There is no question that we won't tackle. Is that true? Tonight could be pretty exciting. And Sunday mornings, you tell me. If I ever preach a Reader's Digest message, it'll be my last message here at Fruitland Baptist. Because we're here to teach the Word of God. See? And that's where you learn things to grow. Because the church, that's God's ordination for the primary means of people being discipled. Now, with that said, let's take a look at a few verses here. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Otherwise, it's just what I say. Galatians, Ephesians 4. Actually, we're going to go 11 through 13 today. I feel a little bit, I'll use the word liberal this morning. Why not take an extra verse? No, it's important. Here it is, folks. Apostle Paul's teaching the church at Ephesus. He says, and he gave some, and you can look here, these are disciples, apostles, prophets, preachers, or some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. By the way, that's hyphenated. A pastor needs to be a teacher. And notice what it says in verse 12. And I could preach a whole message on that verse. But you look into that. God's fully equipped the church to be a primary discipler. He says, and here it is, for the what? In the King James it says, for the perfecting of the saints. Or you could insert the word there, for the equipping of the saints. Okay? Because we're not here just to feel good. We're here to do something for the Lord. It's called the Great Commission. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. No, you don't have to be a pastor to be in the ministry. Pastor has many, but the pastor needs to be a minister. Ministry means servant. By the way, that's how you get into growth with the Lord. You get 2 feet on the ground and you get involved in what He has for us to do. And let me tell you, you will grow. If you don't get your feet on the ground in your faith and you're a superficial part of it, you'll never grow. You will not grow because you've got to be engaged in the program. Anyway, for the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying means building. Edifice is the word building. In other words, we shouldn't be here today just to consume. And some of you have heard me talk about this too much, but we need to be what, autonym?
We need to be putting into it.
Producers. We can be consumers, but God calls us to be producers. Never forget that today. That's what he really wants. Yes, he wants us to consume these things in our growth, but then he wants us to use our growth. You know, it's kind of like some people, Bill, I hope I don't step on your foot today because I know you're not that way, Bill Herlein. But it's like if you have a beautiful restored vehicle and you leave it sit in the garage and don't take it out and proof test it. What good is it to have? You can say you have it, right? Bill, I know you're mad, but we'll have time this week to talk. No. Get it out and see what it's made of. Too many Christians got their cars parked in the garage waiting for just to say they have it. You know what? God's going to call us into question on that too. Because I believe that we can be equipped if we're not through discipleship. And the first means is the church. Now Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. You're saying, yeah, I knew he'd get to that. He's out picking on me today. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Well, I have to. By the way, even if something steps on your toes today doesn't mean I don't love you. If I didn't step on toes today, including my own, of course I have fewer toes to step on now. But Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, here it again, it says, and let us consider yourselves. Oh, okay, you saw it right. Okay, keep me on track here. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's also called what? Growth in the ways of the Lord. And notice 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What's the day approaching? It's the day of Jesus Christ. It's the day of Jesus Christ, when he returns in the air, but for the unbeliever, when he returns at the end of the tribulation, and I'll tell you what, things are going to get set straight. Stop that pointing, John. Right, Kim? Anyway, what's he saying there? Come to discipling. The reason we meet three times a week is for the benefit of us to grow in Christ. I know people can't always come. I understand that. But the point is, if we miss the teachings and the fellowship of the church, it's going to cause us to be weak, just like if we miss meals. It's very important. All right, second part of that today. So that's the preaching and fellowship of the church, but then discipleship under one or more personal disciplers. Every one of us should be available to help someone to grow in Christ. Now you think about that. That means that we all should be what? Ready, first of all, but engaged with helping people grow in Christ. That's where you come into personal things like one-on-one. All of us should have someone in our lives as believers that you know has been laid on your heart to be working with. Doesn't mean you have to live with them, but it means what? You take maybe special effort in prayer, but also just talking with them about iron sharpening iron, you know? Talking about different things, being available. I like to talk to people about things. I like to learn. I tell you, there's people that I respect that I would go to with questions. And we need to be ready to sit down and do that with each other. So that's where you get in on Bible studies, small groups, one-on-one or one-on-two or whatever the case may be, small groups that meet together and disciple each other and develop a burden. By the way, when you see someone new come into the gathering of the church, I shouldn't even have to say this, but you better make good and sure you're interested in them. New people that come into a church need to have a multitude of people saying, hi, we're glad you're here. We're interested in you because of Jesus Christ. That's very important. By the way, COVID has hurt a lot of these things, hasn't it? Sure has. But it doesn't mean we give it up. But anyway, that's where we get that. But we need disciples at Fruitland Baptist Church. I call it like it is. We are not strong in that area. We need to see a reinvigoration of that type of ministry here at Fruitland Baptist Church. 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2. Now here Paul's talking to Timothy, and I'll start with verse 1 because it's very apropos there as well. He says, this is 2 Timothy 2:1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's encouraging young Timothy here. And now notice this in 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others. Men, especially the male species here, the male gender, we need to not only be available to be taught so that we can teach others, but we need to carry on that pattern. But I'm going, and it's specifically directed to the men here. Men are going to be the leaders of a strong church. But it doesn't negate the ladies from doing the same thing. But I'm going to say it again here today, folks. Fruitland Baptist ladies probably do more of this than her men do. That needs to change. It's got to change. The disciples need to be engaged, and it needs to go to people that are faithful. By the way, when you're serving the Lord, and again, I'm not legalistic, but I believe this, that there are very few excuses that really hold water with God about being involved in these things and being in attendance, because he wants us to grow and it involves discipling. I'm not going to come out and say that every time the church doors are open, you've got to be here, but you ought to have a pretty good excuse. And just be careful of the ones you give. I've told you before, you know, about the person that called, I don't feel so good today. But God made a miraculous recovery because in an hour at Maynard's, there they were. And I didn't say anything. There wasn't anything to be said. You get the point, right? But we need disciples. And of course, to be disciples, we need disciples, followers of Jesus Christ. Yep. All right. There's the first point. Here's the second point. First one was a connection to the Word. Second point is an obedience to the Word. An obedience to the Word. Well, the first one, folks, is water baptism. Water baptism, and I have it here in my notes. I don't know if I got it on your sheet. I'll have to look here. But local church assimilation. That's the plan of the New Testament. You can read it through and through and through. And you're always going to find that. Salvation. And then as soon as you're discipled or mature in the Word, understand that water baptism does not save you. There's only one baptism that saves you. That's the baptism of the Holy Spirit that's combined with your regeneration when you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, believe on his name, call on his name for salvation. But see, water baptism is public identification with Christ. And along with that, when we've publicly identified with Christ, to the best of our ability, we also need to unite with a what? A local church. Now, I've been around this merry-go-round with people a lot, too, and they say, well, you know what, I don't see anywhere in the Bible that it says you have to be a member of a local church. Well, you can make a case that that may not be the case, because even at the first church in Acts chapter 2, there was some kind of an accountability factor where they were on a roll. Well, I'm going to tell you today, just I'll leave it in your hands to study with the Word of God, but there's an accountability factor to a local church. By the way, we have this other thing, too, that goes on a lot today that people say, well, I'm a member of the Universal Church. Yeah, you're right. But you know what? You can't go out church shopping. You can shop for one, but you better find the right one, and you better find one that lines up with the Word of God, and then you better what? You better stick around. and get engaged with it, because I'll tell you what, it's all the same. Every church has problems, and if you're looking for the perfect one, you'll never find it. Yeah. And jumping around all over, I've found myself, and I've been through some of this stuff over the years that have happened in the church. By the way, it tears you apart. But I always say, why not stick around and see what God's going to do? You can always run, but folks, that's not the first option. The best option is what? See it through. Remain biblically based. But I believe for most, I think that when we sign on the dotted line and become a member of a church, it's a good thing. Because that's like today, if you're not a member of Fruitland Baptist Church, well, it doesn't mean I wouldn't say something to you if I saw you fall into sin. You'd want me to, wouldn't you, Larry? You wouldn't want me to just, oh, have a good day, brother. Head for destruction. But you understand what we're saying here, don't you? Yeah. But, you know, technically, well, if people are not engaged here, I don't have really any authority, do I? In a sense, because we haven't said, yeah, I'm committed there. I'm just here and there floating around. We need to be committed, assimilated with a local church. So water baptism, that's the first thing, because that identifies us with Christ. Acts 8, 35 through 39. We're going to go back to this so you can keep a finger in there. Anyone want to tell me where we're looking at here? Philip? An Ethiopian treasurer, or eunuch. Now, there's a few things that are not the same, but this is a pretty good account of what needs to take place in the local church. There's one part here that we can infer that we don't know for sure, but this talks about evangelism and discipleship and water baptism for identification. Let's look at verses 35 through 39, but to cut to the chase, Philip's out, he's under the direction of God. The angel of the Lord speaks to him. He says, go to the south, head to Jerusalem via Gaza. And so he runs in, not by chance, this happened because God had a hand in it. He runs into this Ethiopian treasurer that's been up for a time in Jerusalem to worship. And guess, lo and behold, what was he reading? He was reading his Bible, and he was reading Isaiah 53, which is a wonderful text that talks about Jesus Christ, hundreds of years before he came from the prophet Isaiah. By the way, today Judaism rejects Isaiah 53. They don't want to read it because it tells them the what? It tells them that Jesus is the Messiah. And they know he did undergo the things that are recorded in Isaiah 53. And see, this Ethiopian eunuch was there, and he was under conviction of the Holy Spirit. And just so happens, no, it didn't just so happen, Philip comes along to share with him how it all fits together, and it points to Jesus Christ. So 35 through 39, we'll come back later. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Here's your evangelism. By the way, he was kind of doing reverse discipleship here. We call it witnessing or soul winning, okay? Where we what? We're showing them the gospel. We're dialoguing with people. Isaiah 53 is the gospel. Points to Jesus, the Messiah. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water. So we don't know the exact amount of time that Philip here was talking with this gentleman, but he was in the mode of evangelism and discipleship here. Evangelism first, but going to be discipling here as well. Because what took place here, we know is this, that he believed. Verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip had taught him the tenets of New Testament Scripture. See? Evangelism, just what I'm trying to get across this morning. And so the Ethiopian treasurer says, well, hey, here's a pool of water. What am I waiting for? Maybe there's some here today that have never identified with Jesus Christ and the waters of baptism by immersion. By the way, we won't go into a big thing on that either, but baptism its very language. The word baptizo in the Greek means to dip or immerse, but it's more than that. Water baptism by immersion shows our death, burial, and resurrection in Jesus Christ. It identifies that we've been buried with him in baptism and risen to new life through the power of the resurrection, that we've identified with that. I was at a funeral at a church this week that taught that our baptism is the beginning of our salvation. Water, and that isn't even by immersion, that would be by rantizo, sprinkling in the Greek. Doesn't picture anything at all. There's a lot of confusion about that, but the Word of God is consistent about that in the New Testament. Salvation, baptism, identification, for identification, assimilation with a group of believers. Anyway, I said through where? Oh, well, notice 37. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, which, by the way, is the whole gospel message right there. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. How far was I going to go? Through 40, right? No. Lost my place. 39. We made it. No. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now, here's the thing I want to talk about. First of all, let me answer this before I forget. There's evidence that a church was begun in Ethiopia. So you're going to say, well, who did he go to join with? Well, that can happen sometimes, but if there's no one to join with, then you start to what as a believer? You start to evangelize and bring on disciples, like the Great Commission says. But here's the other thing, folks. Notice here. He went on his way rejoicing. You could insert the word there, fulfilled. I'll say this today to people that resist that act of water baptism and assimilation with the local church. You'll never grow much from that point. If you won't obey God in that very part of identification, your growth is going to be stunted. And in many cases, it'll never go any further than that. You can think about that. If you ever want to talk about those things, you know, I'm glad to visit with you about it. But that's what the scriptures show us. All right, so water baptism. It's a New Testament pattern. And it should happen as soon as we understand it. Now, you also have other people on the other side of that coin. You get saved, in the next 10 minutes, they're going to baptize you. I don't agree with that. I think people need to know what's going on. Because so many people are confused about baptism. Don't be confused. We got to keep going. Well, you want to? Well, we still got 7 or 8 minutes before we're late. But what if we did come back on the last point? Thank you. Right on time, Jane. That's right. Water baptism. The second thing along this line about the fundamentals again, or the basis of growth. The basis of growth after we're saved. Number B, or letter B there. I had a teacher in school that said number B. I thought, what are you talking about? It's letter B. Letter B. You remember that kind of thing. The second thing, subpoint, is developing a love for God and others. If you don't love God, you're not going to grow in Him. Truly love Him. You want to grow into a deeper love with God. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Oh, I got to turn one more page. Matthew 20. 34 through 40. Yes, thank you, Matt. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. By the way, that comes right from Deuteronomy. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So here again, the basics of growth is you better love God, number one. But number two, if you don't love people, you know. And I can admit I struggle about people and even about loving God as I should. But you'll find, I've found it in my life, when we're in tune with Him in both of those categories, great things are going to happen. It's very vital. It's so important that we obey what the Word says about that, because it's the basis of us growing. If you don't have those things, again, in your life, you will not grow. Your growth will be stunted. The next thing is 2 Peter 3:18. And again, so many things here that we could bring out about this, but I think these are the very basics. 2 Peter 3:18. Apostle Peter says this, and this is where we're told, he says, but he uses the word here, grow. He says, but grow in grace. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They're very simple. Obedience to the word brings growth. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Point three. Oh, no, we have one more point, right? Yeah, we'll stop on point C. How about if we come back next week to the last point? If anyone has a problem, I'll stay over with you and we'll finish it this morning. Yeah. Well, if you want to, Jane. I think come back next week, though. Because Kim has a pork roast in the oven. Yeah. But if there's truly needs, the roast can burn. Because I'd rather see it burn than someone burn in hell. Amen? Even Kim's food when it's burnt is good. Third little sub-point here under obedience to the word. The study, the authority, the power, and the handling of the word internally. We need to get into the word. We need to understand what we're dealing with here. I've said it before. One of the words in the Greek that's used for the power of the Word of God is the word dunamis. Dynamite. Let me tell you today, folks, if you were handling actual dynamite, you'd want to know something about how to handle it, wouldn't you? That's not the day you light your pipe when you got the box of it in your hand. Right? Now, I'm just having some fun here. 2 Timothy 2:15, these are fundamental basics of growth. 2 Timothy 2:15. I'm a little slow here. I think probably most of us know it. 2:15. Study. I read my Bible daily, some might say. Well, that's good, but better is to what?
Understand it.
That's right. And that involves study. That means tearing it apart, looking at the original languages, exploring the whole thing, how it fits together with the rest of Scripture. But study, it says, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So these are essential, again, to our growth, that we understand what we're dealing with here. And that involves study so that we can rightly apply it to our lives first before we try to apply something to someone else, right? Okay, that's the first one. Then right across the page, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. You actually could reverse these, but you know, you can do that on your own, but that probably is the way it really goes. To understand the basis of the Word of God, that it is what? Inspired of Him. It's God-breathed, that's what that means. Here it is. All Scripture. Amen. All Scripture. Amen. And I believe this today, folks, I believe in our 66-book Bible. Okay? It's only totally complete in the original manuscripts, but what we have before us today is very, very solid Scripture. Everything we need to know is there. Okay? Be careful of your Bible translations. All of them. Be careful to know, and I'll tell you what, this is where the study of the originals has some validity. Amen. And that doesn't take big scholars from schools to do. You can do it on your own. And it's very easily done with a what? Well, time, but a concordance. You can go back and look at the Greek track. Check this stuff out, folks. All scripture is given, or graphe, that's the word scripture, writing. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. By the way, profitable means that it sets us straight. The doctrine means it's the teaching of the truth. Reproof means convicting evidence. And, well, correction means that it sets us straight. And for instruction in righteousness, that's growth. The Bible has all of that that can be communicated to us from God. It's a powerful book. It's worth many times over doing all you can with it and paying good attention to it. And then, as I mentioned earlier, Hebrews 4:12. You can look into that, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. By the way, Scripture is not dependent on private interpretation. The whole Bible fits together. We can't reinvent the wheel. This has been done already. There were people back at the Council of Nicaea in about 325 or somewhere back in that time, A.D. They fought all this struggle about the canonization of Scripture. You got a good Bible in front of you today, folks. This has all been hashed over by people that were a lot closer to the end of the writings in A.D. 100, which is Revelation, than what we are today. Don't be hoodwinked by all this other malarkey that's out there that something's been missed. God's preserved his text. It's been very, very easily seen that he has, and he always will. His word won't pass away. You've got a reliable Bible in front of you today. Praise God for that. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God, in the King James it says, is quick. You wonder what the word quick means? Grab a pen and stick it underneath your fingernail. You'll be quick to know that you're alive. Unless your nerves have been deadened, seared with hot, you know, the parallel of that. The Word of God is quick, living, that's what that means, and powerful. There's your word, dunamis in the Greek. It's like dynamite. The Word of God is described two ways in the Greek, either dunamis, dynamite, or energos, meaning like the uncontrollable power of a power plant. It's potent. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. What you're dealing with here in the Word of God, which is a basic of our growth, is the power of our growth that's found in the Word of God. And it's how it works with us. When we get these three basic points straight in our life about the Word of God, we're set for a pattern of growth. It's vital. Okay, we said we were going to quit. So next week, save your sheets, and we'll go into point three. But you've got two of the points here today that are basics for growth in the Christian life. If you want to see that happen in your life, if you're saved, a connection to the Word and obedience to the Word specifically in what we talked about today. Now, as we close today and we sing this chorus, realize this is a day of response. And maybe today you're saying, well, you know, you brought up some things I'll think about, Pastor. Maybe someone today is saying, you know what, this has put me over the top, your word today. I got to get with the program here because I'm wasting away. I'm shriveling up. I'm not getting anywhere. I want to have a vibrant walk with the Lord. This is a day to get that set straight right now, whether you come forward or do it wherever in your seat today, but don't put it off. That's the biggest problem with us as humans. We procrastinate about everything. We say, oh, well, I'm not sure. Well, you can be sure from what you heard today. Amen. Do it. And you know enough about me. I'm not like the stereotypical. I learned a lot of things in my life. You don't force people to join a church. You just present it. Because if you force people or strong arm, and you'll never get that from me, I want the Spirit to put the strong arm on anyone. But today, like every day that we meet, is an opportunity to see this growth come about. And it might involve things such as water baptism or uniting with a local church or growing in the Word and what we learned this morning and much, much more. I've enjoyed your attention this morning. I pray this message will speak to the hearts. Let's stand if you're able. We're going to sing a chorus. And I believe it is very apropos at this time too, because you know what? The most mature person in this room is still not mature enough. And if you think you're mature today in the Lord, you're not very mature. Did you get what I said? We better get right and come clean about this, because God knows. I hope that this is a prayer for all of us today. Change my heart, O God. May I be more like you. You respond today to this in your life, whether it's coming forward or dealing with God on your own today. He's waiting. Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. My heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you. Lonnie, would you dismiss us, please?